we audio? Daddy, do we have audio?
Yeah, we're live, so quit talking. Good morning. It is PCBC Chapel, and it's Command Thursday. So we're joined today with our guest host. This is David Roseland at Preston City Bible Church, and
Nathan
Joshua Roseland, pastor's kid. What are you going to do for a living when you grow up? What are you going to do?
Be a pastor.
That's the right answer. I want everyone to notice. So, is that really what you want to do? Really? Wow. What do pastors do?
Teach people about the gospel.
They teach people about the gospel. Now, why do they do that? Why do we do the things that we do?
Because it's the right thing.
Because it's the right thing, dude. That is awesome. It is the right thing. If it's the call God has for your life, then it's the right thing for you to do. And do you know what all Christians are supposed to be doing? We are commanded, we are called by the Lord to make disciples. And that's what God wants us to do. It's always the right thing to make disciples. And so pastors are part of that work. Do you know you are too? We're all part of that work. Making disciples of all nations. That's what Jesus told us to do. And he gives everyone a spiritual gift so that they're able to do that. You may have a spiritual gift of pastor and teacher. That may be what God wants you to do. But you know what? If it is, you'll grow into it as you grow spiritually. And the Lord will make that clear to you. But whatever we do with our lives, we want to serve him. We want to be pleasing to the Lord, right? Now, Nathan, can you sit up and tell us, how old are you, son?
5
years old. Are you excited about PCBC Chapel Command Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
I am too. Let's see if we can get into the Word together. But first, we need to make sure we're in fellowship with God and confess our sins. And do you know what confession of sin does? It is not...
Cleans us up.
God cleans us up when we confess our sins. That's right. And do you know a verse on that? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we what? If we
walk in the...
Good. If we confess
our
sins, he is
forgiven,
faithful and just to
forgive us our sins.
And to
forgive us our sins.
To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is not religion. This is not some practice that you do to just go through some motions. This is a relationship with God. We're trying to, we are seeking to be back in fellowship with God when we step out. I always take that moment for silent prayer. If you might have said something you shouldn't have said, or thrown something at your brother that you shouldn't have thrown, or done something that you shouldn't have done. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these young people. Thank you for the sacred trust you've given to us to train them up to fear you, to love you, to serve you, to be disciples of your son. Thank you for the privilege we have to get together across the miles for Preston City Bible Church Chapel. Father, we commit this work and all that we do to you, to the glory of your son, to the grace and work of your Holy Spirit in us. We ask that you'd strengthen us by his power to do all that you expect, including making disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's get you seated this way. You are going to be one of those, if you're a pastor, you're going to be one of those guys that's all over the pulpit, all over the stage, all over the place, throughout the whole church, preaching your sermons. You are a wiggly, wiggly man, but that's how we are. We Roselands at 5. All right, so Nathan, do you know how we do Preston City Bible Church Chapel? Did you see that? We have a thing we do every time. We try to stick to a very similar format. And the first thing we do is a psalm. We praise God in song. We don't sing it because we don't know the words, but we go through one of the songs of Israel. Yeah?
Can you flip this.
Oh, we will. They all flip. We'll do that again in a minute. And we're going to do a story, just a second back there, and we'll do a command, because it's Command Thursday, and we want to know what God wants. Now, my guest host is gesturing behind him, because would you like to introduce the studio audience with us today? The other Samuel, participants please. In chapel? Who do you have behind you?
Samuel Roseland. Did I say Roseland?
Samuel Roseland. Hi, Samuel. It's good to see you. We're glad you're part of Preston City Bible Church Chapel.
Come on, Mike.
That'll do. Now, go get a seat.
Ow.
Go get your seat. And don't hit your brother. And Isaiah Roseland.
Who's hunkering back
there? Isaiah's back there, and he's... Isaiah's happy to be... Oh, could you sit down for me? He's happy to be in chapel and a participant by watching and learning. Are you going to learn today, fellas, and get the word? Because I think today's story and command is really going to go a long way.
What's the command?
In your spiritual life. Well, we'll have to wait till we get there. And everybody do please try to stay tuned. All right,
don't
now.
Fight!
Now, you sit down, and you're the guest host. Your job, you have a duty, and it's to stay in that chair, and it's to talk clearly into that microphone so that we can have our psalm together.
Hello!
Now, are you going to say the psalm after I say it? I'll say it, and then you say it? Mm-hmm. So that we can practice, everyone, at home, if you'd like to say. Don't do that ever. Don't do that. We're trying to communicate. That's okay. Not communication. When we say the psalm, why don't you at home say it with us? I'll say it, and then you can say a line. And those of you who can read, you'll be able to read along when I say it. But those who can't, you get to say it after, if you want to do it that way. So here, it did it. Psalm 19, the study we're doing this week of God's works and God's word, ending on a prayer of God's deliverance from sin and the privilege of serving him with our words and our works. It says, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God." Let's try it again. The heavens are telling of the glory of God.
The heavens are telling of the glory of God.
And their expanse is declaring the work of his hands.
And their expanse is declaring the work of his hands.
Day to day pours forth speech.
Day to day pours forth speech.
And night to night reveals knowledge.
And night to night reveals knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words.
There is no speech, nor are there words.
Their voice is not heard.
Their voice is not heard.
Their line has gone out through all the earth.
Their line has gone out through all the earth.
And their utterances to the end of the world.
Their utterances to the end of the world.
In them he has placed a tent for the sun.
In them he has placed a tent for the sun.
Which is as a bridegroom.
Which is as a bridegroom.
Coming out of his chamber.
Coming out of his chamber.
It rejoices as a strong man to run its course.
It rejoices as a strong man to run its course.
Its rising is from one end of the heavens.
It's rising from one end of the heavens.
And its circuit to the other end of them.
And its circuits to the other end of them.
And there is nothing hidden from its heat.
And there's nothing hidden from its heat.
You're doing so good. The law of the Lord is perfect.
The law of the Lord is perfect.
Restoring the soul.
Restoring the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure.
The testimony of the Lord is sure.
Making wise the simple.
Making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right.
The precepts of the Lord are right.
Rejoicing the heart.
Rejoicing the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is pure.
The commandment of the Lord is pure.
Enlightening the eyes.
Enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
The judgments of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether.
The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether.
They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold.
They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold.
They are sweeter also than honey.
They are sweeter also than honey.
And the drippings of the honeycomb.
And the drippings of the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them your servant is warned.
By them your servant is warned.
Do you know what warned means? It means God is giving you a warning. Don't mess this up, because you have a life that he wants to live, you to live and serve him with. Okay? In keeping them, there's great reward.
In keeping them, there's great reward.
I wanted to do it.
We're almost there. Who can discern his errors?
Who can discern his errors?
Now that button. Equip me of hidden faults. Equip me of hidden faults.
Equip me of hidden faults.
All right. Also, keep back your servant.
Also, keep back your servant.
From presumptuous sins.
From presumptuous sins.
Now, let them not rule over me.
Let them not rule over me.
Let my presumptuous sins not rule over me. Do you hear the song?
Let my sins not rule over me.
Let my presumptuous sins not rule over me. It's a prayer. It's asking God to help with our sins. Now, there's a way for you oldest children to do this without public corporal punishment. There's a way for you to manage this. He's got a legitimate problem. There's a way for you to sort this out. Should we ask our audience how you can sort this out? Or do you think you're going to have to make a choice to think it through, to consider one another more important than yourselves, and do this? You decide, Isaiah. How's it going to go? TikTok. How's it going to go? So, can you see? Can you see?
No, I can see.
All right, so no more. There's no need for this, right? It's insane. It's absurd. It's stupid. Let's don't be stupid. Let's be wise and not foolish. Okay?
Tick.
All right, so you get fixed. We can stop. We can just stop. Tell everybody we were unable to do chapel. Should we do that?
No.
All right, so fix it. Go. So keep back your servant from presumptuous sins.
Keep your back your servant from
presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. And what happens if he does that, if God does that? Then I will be blameless. And I shall be acquitted.
I shall be acquitted
of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight.
O Lord,
my rock and my redeemer. Well, Psalm 19 has the picture of God's general revelation in creation and God's special revelation in his word, and then a prayer for God to help us with what we really struggle with. And what do we struggle with, Nathan? Inside, we want to disobey for some reason. We want to have our own way. We want to get angry. We want to have our way to the expense of someone else. We don't want to think of the other person. We want to be selfish. All these are sins, and they get hold of us. They get hold of us, and then we throw in with them. We give into it. And what does that do with your relationship with God?
Take it away.
It destroys your relationship with God. And so we're asking God to help us with that. Did you know that's a really important thing for everybody here at home, in the home office here, and everybody watching? That's something to think about. We want God to work in us so that we're able to serve him, okay, without giving in to our constant urges from our sinful nature. This is Psalm 19. It goes from creation to my sins. Isn't that interesting? From the very beautiful majesty of God's wonderful creation to our sins. And this takes us now to our story. If I can merge it there. Our story today is from the book of
Daniel.
Exodus. The book of Exodus. That's what we're looking at. Now, what picture is that? What do you see there in that photograph there?
Moses.
There, that's Moses. That's right. What's Moses doing?
Holding commandments.
He's got commandments in his arm. What else is he doing?
Raising his hand.
He's raising his staff. And what's this on the sides of, around him? What is all that?
mountains.
It is. It looks like mountains because it's tan colored, but that's called sepia. It's trying to be like black and white, kind of like art. But if these were blue, what would this be? If these walls were blue,
mountain.
No. Where in the story of Moses did he stand on? Huh?
Whoa!
That's water, right? Because he what? He parted the Sea of Reeds. He parted the Red Sea.
So that's water.
That's water. These are the canyons of water that are stacked up in a heap where Moses was able to spread his arms and the Lord caused a wind to separate the water. And the children of Israel walked across on dry land to escape from Pharaoh. This is the massive...
Pharaoh died.
Pharaoh died. This is the story of the Exodus. And today in our story, we're looking at one part of it on Command Thursday. We're looking at one story in the Exodus. And you know what the command was? You know what the big command of the Exodus was?
What?
There were lots of commands. And when they got to Exodus 20, there were the Ten Commandments and then the rest of God's commands to Israel. But the commandment of the Exodus was God, the King of Kings, speaking to a king. And do you know what he told the king?
Let my people go.
God commanded Pharaoh, let my people go. Now we looked on Promise Tuesday at Genesis chapter 15, where God, can you not point at him? Look at me. You're with me. Okay. See, that's what happens is you're worried about him. You shouldn't think about him. Just ignore him. That'd help him a lot. Now here's what you need to do is look at me. In the story of the Exodus, think. God told Abraham in 2100 BC, hundreds of years before Israel was even in slavery, he told them he was going to bring them into a land, they would be enslaved, and then he would bring them out with much possession. And we learned about that on Promise Tuesday. And here we're learning how God broke Israel out of bondage, out of slavery. They became enslaved after Joseph brought Israel, Jacob and his brothers, and all their people into Egypt, and for 400 years they grew as a people. Their population expanded. They had a bunch of kids and grandkids and great grandkids, and it made this massive nation of something like 2 or 3 million people that was just overwhelming how big it was. God really prospered them, and they grew to this massive country, this massive nation within Egypt, and the Egyptians got scared of them. Do you know why? Because they thought these Hebrews are going to outnumber us. And so they decided to enslave them. And that way they could control them. And they started making them do forced labor. And they were very bad to them in their bondage. You know what else they said? They're still expanding. And let's kill all their children, all the boys, so they can't make more population. So they were going to stop their population growth by killing a generation of boys. Isn't that crazy? They're going to throw them into the Nile River. And that's the story of how we got Moses. Do you know what happened with Moses? His mom and dad loved him and they hid him, even though Pharaoh had said, throw the baby boys into the Nile. And his mom made a little ark, a little basket, and she covered it with pitch so that it was waterproof. Tar, she waterproofed this basket and put her boy in the Nile, but not so that he would be destroyed, but so that he would be adopted. She put him in the Nile River, and Pharaoh's daughter was bathing in the river, and it just so happened, it wasn't an accident, I think, but it just so happened that that Miriam, Moses' older sister, made sure that little baby in the basket went in the water right by where Pharaoh's daughter would be bathing, and Pharaoh's daughter saw that beautiful little baby boy, just gorgeous. The Bible says he's really good looking, and you know what she said? I want that baby to be my baby. And she adopted Moses as her son. So the Pharaoh's daughter, the Pharaoh who had said, kill all the baby boys, they adopted one. And he would grow up to be the one that God would use to bring his people out of slavery to Egypt. And that's the story of Moses. Well, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household till he was a little bit younger than I am today. Daddy, my age, about 40 years old is when Moses left Pharaoh's household and went to the wilderness. He had to run away because he was in trouble for killing one of the slave masters who was whipping one of the Israelites. So he killed him, and the people knew about it, and he thought he was going to get caught by Pharaoh. So he ran away from Egypt out to a place called Midian, and he got married, and he stayed there tending his father-in-law's flocks for 40 more years. And while that's going on, at one point in this, while he's tending his father-in-law's flocks and he's contributing to this family business, he saw God. God appeared to him. Do you know how he showed up? You don't remember how God showed up? Moses was out tending his flocks and out in Midian. What did he see?
Hi, God.
Huh?
Hi, God.
No, he didn't say hi, God. What did he see? How did God appear to him?
Clouds.
Nope. The burning bush. Remember the story of the burning bush? The Lord, Yahweh, appeared to Moses in a burning bush. It was a bush. Now look. No, don't look at him. Look at me. It was a bush that was on fire. One more and you're out. A bush that was on fire and it didn't consume. It didn't burn up. And so this really was something Moses had never seen before. A massive fire, flaming bush that wasn't burnt up. And he went over to see, what is that over there? And the Lord said, Moses, take off your sandals for you're on holy ground. And he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I have chosen you. You are going to take my people out of, don't do that, out of Egypt. What did God say to Moses?
You will take my people out of Egypt.
I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And so God gave a command to Pharaoh through Moses. Moses said, I don't want to do this. I can't speak. I'm not good at speaking. And God said, okay, well, your brother Aaron can be your spokesman, but you're going to do it. He said, how will I know, how will I show them that I'm really coming from God, from the Creator? And God said, okay, put your hand in your shirt. And he did. He said, now pull it out. And it was covered with leprosy. It was nasty and decayed and instantly had gone rotten. And he said, now put your hand back in your shirt. And he put it back in. Now pull it out. And it was perfectly clean. And he said, see that stick in your hand, the stick in the picture? You take that rod and you throw that down and it turned into a snake. And he said, pick it back up. And so God was going to give him signs to show that he had the power that goes with his message. And then he said, you take this message to Pharaoh. So God, through Moses, told Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, the strongest country in the world, he said, the greatest military with all this slave labor that built all these cities or whatever. And God said, let my people go. What did Pharaoh say to God?
Yeah.
What did Pharaoh say to God?
No, I will not let my people go.
He said, no. He said, absolutely not. And he said, you know what? Let's make it harder on them. And the story of Pharaoh saying no to God, that is a very sad story for Pharaoh and his people. Do you know what happened to Pharaoh and to his people?
Yes.
What happened to the people of Egypt?
Bitten by locusts and they had...
They did some of that. What else? What else happened? They had, we call it the 10 plagues of Egypt, where God sent these horrible plagues, these horrible things that the whole country was destroyed,
like
except for the
fogs.
Place where Israel lived.
Like fogs.
No.
Yes.
There was no fox plague.
No frogs.
Oh, frog. The frog plague. That's right. It was nasty. It was stinking as the frogs would die and rot. It was this nasty thing. There was the gnats, the flies, the locusts, ate all the crops. There was hail. There was hail that destroyed all the cattle. There was a pestilence that killed a lot of the animals. There was all this problem in the plagues. And stop doing that. Do you know what that did to the country? Look at me. Look at me. Do you know what that did to the country?
But destroyed it.
It destroyed the whole country. Yeah, and the people were horrible, horribly oppressed and afflicted through all these plagues. It really took a very powerful and saw and rich people and really laid them low.
And then Moses, and then Pharaoh couldn't drink anymore.
They turned the first one was he turned the Nile to blood. That's right, and it killed the fish, and they couldn't drink the water, even water that was in cisterns and wells turned to blood. Now, what was the last plague? Do you remember the last thing that God did? He said, I want my firstborn son Israel. It's one way he calls his people, his nation Israel.
He said the angel of death down to kill every firstborn child in Egypt.
Isn't that unbelievable? Now, every time there was a plague, God would send Moses back and say, God said let him go, and it's going to get worse. And Pharaoh kept saying no to God. Pharaoh kept saying no to God. Pharaoh kept saying no to God. And in one place it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Another place it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And what is happening here is God is showing his might and his power through these plagues of Egypt. He's showing who he is and that he is not to be trifled with and that he's sovereign and omnipotent and he is going to take care of his people as he promised and deliver them from slavery. He's showing that he is mighty to save his people. Yeah.
Did he kill his daughter?
What?
Did he kill Pharaoh's daughter?
It doesn't say that. We don't know about Pharaoh's daughter. We know that the firstborn sons of all of Egypt, because of Pharaoh's hard-heartedness, because he would not say yes to God, he, the leader of the people, brought this consequence on his nation. And that's very common in the Bible. The presentation is that the people suffer for their choices, and they have leaders that reflect them, and then they suffer for their leaders' choices. And so, guess what happened? Finally, with that last plague, when God said, you won't let my firstborn son go, then you lose your firstborn son. And that was the Passover. That was the story. And we're coming up on Passover here next week. Or actually next month in April. And not yet. It's coming. It's coming.
Wemo.
Don't say that, because that's not what we're talking about. Okay? Now, we're almost done with our story. What happened, finally, was God got his way. God restored his people, redeemed them from slavery. Now, if Pharaoh had said, yes, God, yes, Yahweh, you want your people, here they are, here they go, then there wouldn't have been all the plagues, there wouldn't have been the loss of the firstborn son, there wouldn't have been all those things that come from saying no to God. But I want you to know, believers in Jesus Christ, it's always a curse when man says no to God. It's always a curse. It's always bad news. It's always the wrong choice. And that is a really important basic life lesson. Never say no to God. You don't want to harden your heart like Pharaoh did. You don't want God to have to show his glory despite your choice. You want God to show his glory as he's delivering you, as he's saving you. Yes?
Can we watch the second movie of the Bible thing of Pharaoh?
That's a great idea. Sometime we will. The Bible, yeah. Stop that. You don't get to beg. We don't do that. If everyone gets all their work done, we might be able to do it for movie night tomorrow because we do that on Fridays. Yeah. So, all right. So now let's talk about our command. You're doing so good. You're really doing a great job, buddy. Our command today, from that story of Pharaoh where he said no to God and God glorified himself despite Pharaoh's disobedience, we move forward into our command for this, our command Thursday. We're not doing a proverb today, we're doing a command, even though in Proverbs 8 you have some commands.
When is it done?
Is that the question you really want to ask, or God, will you help me concentrate? Heavenly Father, help me concentrate and get... Help me concentrate and do a good job through this. Now, quit touching your face. Now, don't look at that. You look at that, and the camera's right there. Everyone's... Can you say hello to everyone out there?
Hi.
They're all watching you, and they're not really... You're not... You don't really... They don't understand why you're making faces at them, okay? Yeah. What you're doing is you're making faces yourself, looking in the image. But you need to dial into what we're doing. Okay? You want to sit in my lap now, so we can do command time. Sit in Daddy's lap. We'll talk about the command. You're getting too big for all that. All right. Well, let's sit on that. There we go. On that lap. Do you know what our command is today? We talked about it earlier. You know what our command is today? It's in Colossians chapter 3. If you want to turn there in your Bible, we want to talk through this for just a moment. The command of Colossians 3, 1 through 3 is God commanding our attention. God commands our attention. Now, what is this you have right here? What is this thing that you keep talking about? Do you want to talk about that? What is that? You want to hold that up for me?
This is a remote.
It's a what?
Remote.
A remote.
A Wii.
A Wiimote?
Yes.
So, because of games, they're teaching us to mispronounce things? Oh, because it's a remote for the Wii? So, it's a Wii remote, a Wiimote? Okay. Does that make you Wiimotional? Now, do you enjoy pushing those buttons? Just pushing the buttons? Is that fun? See, in our family, we didn't buy the actual Wii. We just have the remote, so you can click the buttons and think it's fun, and the kids just love it. Is that how we do it? No, we got a Wii. We're obviously we're about 10 or 15 years behind all the things because we don't really care about what's popular. This system is a way that sometimes we'll have a good time with our kids and the kids who play together. But we're definitely not really gamers. But this Wii thing is one of these little rewards that we get when we do a good job, right? We get a little bit of Wii time. Do you really like the Wii? Huh? You really like it? How much do you like it? Do you like it enough to ask us about it every 5 minutes during this quarantine?
Yes.
Yes what?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's right. You really like this thing. Why do you like this so much? Playing the Wii. What game do you like to play?
give us a good answer.
What game do you like to play?
New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
The Super Mario Brothers on the Wii?
I like to play the castle.
Okay. You like to play that? Do you like to watch your brothers play it, or do you like to play it?
I like to play. What is the castle named on the snow world?
What's the castle called?
It's not its name. It's just the snow castle.
You really like the pretty snow castle on Mario?
But Sam, what is the guy's name at the top?
It doesn't matter.
Lenny, I think.
Lenny.
Yeah,
Lenny
you like Lenny. Lenny. Okay.
It's one of the
so
I love Lenny.
You love it. Oh, and it's so fun. And you wanna do that and focus on that and play it until you can't play it anymore, till your little thumbs are worn off, and the little 15 minutes you get, that's not ever gonna do it. We just barely got started. We want to play some more Wii. I'm having trouble, and we just get hung up on it, don't we? We just get hung up on it, and this is a part. This is a really good thing, a good lesson. What's this right here? What's this right here? Do you want to fight me for this? Can I have this?
Okay.
Do you want this? This is a Nerf 5 shooter. It is a gun. Can I see it? Why are you dragging it out of my hand? Why are you fighting me for the Nerf gun? Oh, because you want it. You want the Nerf gun. You know that sometimes you don't do that. Sometimes you want the Nerf gun and your brother wants it, and then it's a big fight about these silly, nonsensical things. Look, even the 11-year-old is not able to control himself.
Hey, get it!
Now, in all the houses around the world with more than a couple of kids, or maybe just two kids, more than one kid, we're all going stir crazy. It's raining half the time. It's going to rain again tomorrow, so the sun's out. We're drying out. We're going to get them outside. And it's hard because of being kind of stuck inside, and we're used to going with our day and doing our work in our structured environment. Moms and dads are struggling, but this command will be very, very helpful for you, because this is a command for church-age believers to change their thinking. Now, Nathan, this is going to be God's word, and I want you to listen to it. Can you stand up for me, please, right here?
God wants your attention.
All right, I want you to stand up right here. God is going to command our attention. Stand up for me. That's not it. With the standing of up. Yeah, there you use your feet to stand on. Don't do that. No, yeah, there we go. Hey, standing up. And all God's people applauded. Now listen, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, have you been?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Keep on seeking things above where Christ is, and where is he seated at the right hand of God? Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Let's break that down just a little bit into the essence of this command. Do you want to do that? Here, you do it. Oh, I did it. Now you do it. Do it. This way. This way. Okay.
Wow.
Now look, don't click it more. I'll click it when I want it. Now the beginning is, if you have been raised up with Christ. Now that's a big challenge to you. That's for believers in Jesus. Nathan, do you remember when you first believed in Jesus as your Savior? It was so long ago you don't remember when it first happened.
No,
sir. What did you believe? What do you believe about Jesus?
That he died on the cross.
He died on the cross, and so?
For sins.
Did he pay for your sins on the cross?
Yes.
Why did he do that?
I don't know.
Because he wanted to give you eternal life. Do you have eternal life if you have Jesus?
Nope.
Yes.
Yes.
If you have Nathan, think about what I'm saying. If Jesus died for your sins, does he give you eternal life? Now look.
Yes.
When you trust in him and his work on the cross, you receive eternal life. And you also receive union with Christ. You've been crucified with him and you've been raised up with him. Did you know that? Jesus' death on the cross, you died with him. And Jesus rose from the grave. You've been resurrected with him because you are in Christ. You share what he is. Did you ever know that? Now, here's what that doctrine says. Those of you who have believed in Christ, this is true whether you know it or not, that you've been raised up with him. And so what is the command? Can you read that? It says, keep seeking the things above.
Keep seeking things above.
The things above.
Things above.
Where? Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.
Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.
Now, is this the things above?
No.
This is the things of earth that grow strangely dim in the light of God's presence and grace.
Yes.
Is this Christ or is this just something on earth? See? This is our focus. We get fixated and focused on things and on fun and on silly. And you know what we lose? We lose our joy.
Christ.
We lose the joy of our salvation. We lose fellowship with God. Don't try to show off. Don't try to show off when we're doing chapel time. Yes, sir? Now, keep seeking things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand. Now, yours is going to be big when we get done. We're getting the board out for you. But where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above. Set your mind on the things above. That means we have to be on Christ, on his plan, on his grace, on his salvation, on your destiny, not on the things that are on earth. Is that a hard thing to do? No, it isn't. You just have to choose it. And that's the solution to being hung up so much on stuff. For why do you do this? Why? Because you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You belong to him and you have new life in Jesus. Do you want God to help you think that way about your life?
Yep.
What? Yes, what?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You want God to think that way about you? You to think that way about God. I want you to also. And he's going to have to help us do it. God's going to have to make a change in Nathan and in Daddy and Samuel and Isaiah and all of us to help us keep on seeking the things above. Quit picking your nose. Seeking the things above where Christ is. Do you want to ask God to help you do that? All right, dear Heavenly Father, close eyes and say it. Dear Heavenly Father,
we want you
to help us seek the... Don't look. Close your eyes. We want you to help us seek the things above. Father, let us set our eyes on your Son and your grace. And not worry about the fun and silly and things we fight over.
No.
Not worry.
Not worry about the fun things and the things we fight over.
But really think about your Son and find our joy.
But really think about your Son.
Son.
Son and
find our joy in him.
Find our joy in him.
Father, help us think this way. Because it's our birthright. And not waste our lives and waste our days.
And not waste our lives and waste our days.
We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us for Preston City Bible Church Chapel Command Thursday. Command Thursday is such a good time. Did you enjoy doing chapel with Daddy? You tell everybody thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
We have been really thrilled to have you and to fellowship with you. I'll be teaching a Hebrew course for Chafer Theological Seminary tonight online. And I challenge you to, if you're interested in studying in some depth how we do the work we do, check out Chafer Theological Seminary at chafer.edu. And join us again tomorrow for Fun Friday with Benjamin. Philip Roseland. Until then, we'll be praying for you, and you keep praying for us, and we'll see you soon.